It is still our desire. We mentioned this to you a couple of Sundays ago, and that it would be our desire to look at the articles of faith, and that's still our desire, and hope the Lord will bless our attempts to do that. Starting at the very beginning of those, if you don't have those, you can find that on our website. And next to that, there are some scriptures to go along with those. I'm sorry, excuse me, this morning. So that's something to look at and pray for us as we stand before this morning. So those scriptural references, we believe these articles of faith because we believe they are in line with the Holy Scriptures. We don't believe the articles of faith just because that's articles of faith and we start as a starting point. But we believe the articles of faith because we believe they are in line with the teachings in the whole Scripture. The very first one of those we'd like to try to deal with this morning. There's no way we're going to get through all this. But hopefully give you some understanding, if the Lord would give us that understanding, about what this first article means. And it's the first one. There's a reason why it should be the first one. It says, we believe that there are three that bear record in heaven. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So far, how's that feel? We're not done with it, but how's that sit with you? Do we believe those things? I made reference over there, I think it was Luke, the first chapter, first couple verses there. Those things most surely believed among us. Now here's the rest of it. And that these three are one. How's that sit with you? Well, let's look at it. All right, now I will say this up front, that you'll have some questions. I have some more questions that I can't answer. And I don't know that we'll answer every one of your questions. I will say, we're talking about God, first of all. And God is, even though man likes to put, I do. Maybe you do too. I like to get my hands around something and figure it out and put it in a box. And twist it around, look at it every different angle, and figure it out. Now, I have learned, though, that God is not such a thing that you can put in a box and turn it around and look at it in every angle and figure it all out. There are some little g gods, though, that you can do that with. Those ones that they make out of gold and silver, and you set them up. You can take one of those. And you could study it in every angle, and you could probably figure out everything there is to figure out about it. But now, this one here, he's different than those other ones. He's the big G God, and he's our creator. It's about as silly as saying to the potter, to the cup that he made, that the cup would be able to figure out everything about the potter. It's about pretty much the same thing. Now, that's a scriptural reference. That's Romans 9. Didn't know I was going to use that one. I got a lot of them to use. I didn't know I was going to go to that one. But can the thing that formed say to him that formed it, why'd you make me this way? Those are a bunch of silly questions, aren't they? But the fact that God, our God, is a God that we can't understand fully and completely is a further evidence that He is God. And He's like none other. But now, having said all that, the Lord has given us some scriptures and some teaching that we can understand this, I believe, good enough to our satisfaction to believe that this is the truth. So that's where we're going to go. We want to look at those scriptures. So there's three, and those three are one. Now, I know we have just a couple math students probably in here, a couple people who have had math. And I'm excited. I like math a lot. And you're probably already doing your math here. And I hope to address some of our math concerns. Because you got three, and yet that three is one. All right? I'm excited about it. I just don't know how excited I am about that. But anyway, let's look at the scriptural reference that we have listed there. And it's Little John, 1 John, in the 5th chapter. All right, and this does plainly, it should be there listed next to it because it does plainly teach that. I'll begin reading in 1 John 5. I'm beginning to read the 6th verse. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. There's our three. Who are they? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There we go. That sounds just like what we just said. And these three are one. No wonder we've got that error as a reference, huh? Sounds, pretty much nails that down, doesn't it? Now, I didn't know about that. I think I heard about this years and years ago, but apparently there are some translations of the Holy Scriptures that have omitted this exact verse because they have their reasons that they feel like they've got a better manuscript, which I'm glad they don't have them, because it'd be easy for me to figure out that's not the Word of God. I'm glad they don't make it easy for God's people. But I don't believe there's a better manuscript. I believe this is the King James translation is the authorized scripture that God's given us. That's a whole other... I don't want to get off on that. I don't spend all the time on that. This scripture teaches what we just said. This bears up. This scripture shows us that this is why we believe that, because the Holy Scripture says it. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So, you took math, even Carter now. He's 2 years old. And he is counting. And he, if you say, he knows what it means to get one. I think he does. Now, it's been distorted. Here's how it's been distorted. I want one more. Now that gets kind of blurry, because as a parent, you know that there's always another one after that one, right? So that one kind of gets distorted. One more means that there's going to be several more after that. But just a couple of days ago, Kristen was saying that she was with him and he had three knives or something. Not sharp, okay. Three knives, and he's three knives, and he understood what three meant. Now, you know, you went to school, you know what one means, you know what three means. Do you have any problem with this scripture here, and these three are one? Does it cause you any problem? It might. It might cause us a little bit of problem. How can three equal one? Now, we're talking about God here. Who came up with all this math, by the way? Who came up with science and math? God did. He's creator of all this stuff. He creates time. He creates all these other things. So when he says three or one, I believe exactly what he said. So when you have math, though, if you wrote on there three equals one, the math teacher count that wrong. She'd just say X. She'd get out her red pen. She'd mark it wrong. Then how is it? Well, we try our best to understand this. One thing I'm going to give you in math, I was going to wait and give this to you later, but you take one and you put another one with it, and you put another one with it. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. How is it that you got three, 1 plus 1 plus 1, that equals 3, doesn't it? But do you remember that there's some other math, right? That was addition. What's 1 times 1 times 1? That equals 1. I like that. Now, I didn't. Some other brother gave me that one, but I know the Lord gave him that. You got 3 things, but you've got 1. If they're all equal, that they all have to be equal for that to work. They all have to be equal. And over in scriptures we find, let's go to another one. John 10:30. Now we're not in little John, we're in Gospel John. John 10:30. That's a short verse. It's not the shortest verse. I think Jesus wept. I think that's the shortest one, I believe. John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. Now that's just 2 there, and we got 2 equals 1. But that still works with that same math, because 1 times 1 is 1. If they're both equal, those 2 quantities are exactly equal, and you multiply them by themselves, you still got that same thing there. I and my Father are one, if they're one. And they are. Alright, but let's look. There's apparently, and I believe it because I believe the mind of man is prone to go in different places besides the truth. But apparently there are 2, and I don't like to do this, but in this case it does seem appropriate and the right way to think about it. Is there's 2 major errors that people seem to fall into when looking and considering this, which is known as the Trinity. That's not a scriptural word. It's a concept of scriptural. The teaching is scriptural. It's according to the truth of the Word. But the Word itself is not in the Scriptures. The word Trinity is not. But when people start talking about the Trinity, there seems to be 2 major deviations of false teaching that people tend to fall into. One of them is that the teaching that these are 3 separate gods, and that tritheism or something like that, where you have the theism says teaching of a God, and there's 3 of them, that they're 3 separate, and maybe that they get together and have some meetings and discussions about what to do, and as a group and as a council they decide what they want to do. But the scriptures plainly teach us that there is 1 God. Just 1. Not multiple gods. But there is 1 God. We're going to go to some scriptures that show us that. The other teaching that's false is that actually there's just 1. But it's like he puts on a different hat at different times. That he's God the Father some of the time, and he's God the Son some of the time, and he's God the Holy Ghost some of the time. There's just 1, but it's really the same 1, and he's not separate from, you know, and he never shows up at the same time in all 3 that are there at the same time. But that's not true either. And we would like to go to some scriptures that show us that. So let's look at this. Let's look We looked at John 10. Let's look also, I want to show you over here in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament. Let's go to the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. We want to establish, as the Lord has established in His Word, and this is the 6th chapter, Deuteronomy. Long, long time ago. Another thing is, we got this scripture, I want you to understand that this is this idea that there are three and yet there is one is really throughout Scripture. It's not an idea that's just isolated to the New Testament. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." One Lord. Not multiple gods. Not a God with an S on it. But He is one Lord, one God. And He said, "Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." And that's part of that commandments that He gave, the Ten Commandments, and that was the first one that He gave. Look in Isaiah, and I know I've got a number of scriptures here, and our goal is not to wear you down, but just jot some of these down. Maybe you get a chance to look at them in more detail later. Isaiah, and let's look at the Isaiah in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. Got several there in Isaiah I want to look at. But he said in the 10th verse of Isaiah 43, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Now there are some people, not all Baptists, but there are some people that believe. They pick one of those three of the Godhead, and they say, "Well, He's the main one, He's the only one. And these other ones, they're lesser." There's one main God, and then there's the other lesser gods. Some people believe that, teach that. It's a false doctrine. Some people, and I hate to get off on all these different tangents, some would believe that God the Father, and they're restricting Him to be Jehovah, which I also believe is an error, because there's places where Jesus is referred to as Jehovah. But they believe God the Father is Jehovah, and there's no other. There's this other God out here, Jesus, but He came later, and He was formed later. Why? Because there's that Bethlehem thing, where He would be born of a virgin. But that was not the beginning of Christ. Christ was in the beginning. In fact, John, first chapter of John tells us that. There was nothing made that wasn't made, but by His hand, capital W word, that was the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who's that Word? That's Jesus. There wasn't anything made that wasn't made in creation except that Jesus was there also. Now, I'm kind of getting over these other scriptures over there in Genesis. But back here, so when He said, "Before me there was no other God, and after me, there'll be no other God." Jesus did not become a God when He was born of the Virgin Mary. It was God manifest in the flesh. It was God revealed and shown to God's people in the flesh. But Jesus did not begin in the conception in the Virgin Mary. That's not the beginning of Christ. And we need to understand that's a false teaching. It's not in line with Scriptures. That Jesus has always been, and the Holy Ghost has always been, and God the Father has always been. "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Now He's not talking about the little G God. No, it's capital G God. Yeah, there's been plenty of little G-gods. There'll be some more tomorrow. But the true and living God, the one God, there was none before Him. There'll be none after Him. Why are these things important to us today? We need to understand and believe that this is the God that we ought to be worshiping. And later on, there's not going to be another one come up that we has His own Scripture and His own Savior and His own Gospel. This is the God that we should worship yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we're going to get on to this is His Scripture and His Word. That's important to establish that. That's why it should be the first article that we believe is this is the God. He's in these three persons, and yet He is one God. And this is His Word, and we ought to worship Him. And there's not going to be another God. And there was none before Him or none after Him. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This God is our God, the true, the one and only true living God. Now, talking about, I know I'm all over the place. I still got several here in Isaiah, but I'm going to jump over here to Genesis. Genesis over here. Let's look at a couple things here in Genesis. Very beginning scripture. He says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, now, was that God the Father? Was that God the Son? Or was that the Holy Ghost? Later on, He's going to say, let us, when He's talking about creating man, go down to 26 verse. God said, let us make man in our image. More than one. Not just God the Father. Not just the Son, but all three were in the beginning creating the heavens and the earth. Who's the us? It was the Godhead. Now that is a biblical term for the Trinity. The Godhead, a term used in Scripture to represent, it didn't say Godheads, but it is the Godhead. They're one. And yet they are three, and there's distinctions between them being three. It's not just like the brother was comparing it to Clark Kent and Superman. Never see them the same. Never see both of them in the same place at the same time. Right? Because they're the same fella, right? That's not the way to see God, though, you see. Because we're going to look at that. I'm so excited because in the Scripture, there's several places here we can go. And you're going to find they're both, all three in the same place. Distinct. But here in Genesis, He said, in the beginning said He created these things, and He said, let us make man in our own image. The us. Now, I've already referenced it. I'm going to go over here now. First chapter of John. I want you to hear it from the Lord's words. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word. How long has He been around? From ever, forever, because He's part of the Godhead. In the beginning, and the Word was with God. You see? He was with God. That's the distinction that it wasn't the same one. Do you say, I was there and me. Me and I and me were there. I was with me. You don't say that. But the Word was with God. And it was us that was doing that creating over there. And the Word was God. There's making it one with God. He was God. Now some of these false teachings, they got their false Bible go with it. And they just added one little word right here. I know I'm... shouldn't be giving you all that other stuff, but just to show you, they in their false. This is just one organization. I know I'm not trying to pick on everybody, but they add the word in the beginning. It says, "And the Word was a God." That's not what it says, and that's not the truth, but that's needed, because anytime you have a false something, you got to prop it up with something. You got a lie, you're going to prop it up with another lie, and they build on each other. But it says, and the Word was God, was equal with God. Equal with God, was God. Jesus was God, is God. Equal with God. He says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Was that talking about God the Father? Well, it's talking about the Word. Later on, He's going to say the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, speaking of Jesus as the Word. But you can say, yeah, it was talking about the Father, and you'd be right. Was that talking about Jesus? Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because Him and the Father are one. John 10:30. Other places say the same thing. He says, in Him was life, and life was the light of men. Alright. Now let's go over here. And Mark, I didn't go to Mark 12. He's going to say, he's going to repeat that which is over here. Mark 12:29. Write that one down, but I'm not going to go to it. It's going back to that one Lord, one God, which is in the Old Testament. Alright? Let's go here to scriptures that reference about the three. Let's go to the last verse of the book of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew. This commission is given to the apostles. You're familiar with it. You've heard it before. Now, I would like to go to these several scriptures here that mention all three. Alright? There's a mention of all three, and then we want to look at exactly that there are three in one place at one time. This is a mention of all three. He says in the 19th verse of 28th chapter of Gospel of Matthew, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, I have been guilty of not quoting that exactly right. I said in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Sounds a lot like it, doesn't it? But that's not what it says. And it's important really to get that right. Because when you say it exactly as it's recorded there, it gives emphasis to each one separately. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Not just the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Each one has the in front of it. Oh, it's just an article. No, be careful. The Lord didn't just put it in there. It is to add distinction to each one separately. But we have all three mentioned here in this place. And that's also it's also going to be recorded in several other places. Let's look, since we're in Matthew, let's back up, because we've got to back up somewhere along the way, and go third chapter of Matthew. And we have the Lord, Jesus Christ, who is God, manifest in the flesh, who's come, and He's going to be baptized of John the Baptist. John's baptized in the River Jordan. God has put on him, commanded him to go do these things. And he's baptizing. 13th verse, 3rd chapter of Matthew. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. John knew who this was. John was not deceived. Many were deceived. Many did not understand that he was God. But John did not think he was just a good man, just a good prophet. John saw he was the Son of God. Jesus answered and said, it is suffered to be so now, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. It was right to have this done. John didn't understand it, but it didn't matter. Jesus said, you don't understand it, but it's right. Do it. Thus, then he suffered him. And Jesus, there's one. Now, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. We got two. Same time, same place. We got two. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." Who do you think that is? Father. "In whom I am well pleased." We got all three. Is this the same one wearing a different hat? No, there's three. Three. They're separate. And yet they're one. And we got all three right here at this occasion. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now here it says the Spirit of God. If you were to look at Luke 3:22, it's the same account of what just happened right there. But in case it bothers you, it said the Spirit of God. In case that bothers you for whatever reason, it shouldn't. But in case it does, look at Luke 3 and 22. And the Holy Ghost, it says, 21st verse says, "And now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that when Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven and said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom in thee I am well pleased." All three. Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, and the Son, Jesus, being baptized, and the Father saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." All three together in one place. How about John 14? Let's jump to John 14. John 14 and 26. Another scripture you're familiar with. John 14. I'll back up to the 16th verse. John 14, 16 says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you." And then over here, in the 26th verse, same chapter. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." Alright? It's not a fourth person in the Godhead. It's the same one. The third one. The Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter. "But when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." We've got our first one there. "Whom the Father," there's a second, "will send in my name." Jesus saying these things. There's the third. "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." All three there. Jesus is praying to the Father that the Father will send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. All three, they're referenced in that place. How about 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. 2 Corinthians in 13. The last verse. This is the last verse of the Corinthian letters. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you." All three there. In one scripture, all three being referenced. Since we're keep turning, turn over a couple more pages. Go to the fourth chapter of Galatians. Fourth chapter of Galatians. And the fourth verse says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son." God the Father sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ, made of a woman, made under the law. There's Jesus Christ coming, Now, when it says he was made of a woman, doesn't mean he began. Doesn't mean he was created. Doesn't mean his existence began then. But when he took upon him the form of man, that began at that time. Made of a woman, but made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. All three in that scripture there. Three. We have three. Now back to the math, because I like math. How is it that one can be three? When you say one, I think I know what one means. How can one... One mean one. One can't mean three. Well, let's take baby steps. Because I like to do that. I like to take baby steps. How about one equals two? Is that about the same problem? One means one. One don't mean two. Well, there's different kinds of one, isn't there? How about, let's go to Genesis. I know we were just there. But it's still the Lord's Word and it still shows us things. How about Genesis 2 and 24? We're still over at the beginning of this creation thing. Well, let's back up a little bit. Just because we've got to. You know He created, you know us, created man. The three that were one created man. And it said... In the 18th verse, the Lord said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." I know that is offensive to some people. Hard to find something that's not offensive. But it's what it says. And then he comes down here and he says in the 22nd verse, and the, no, I'm sorry, 21st verse, "The Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and as he slept, he took one of his ribs." I don't think it's coincidence that he took one of his ribs. Took one of them. "And closed up the flesh instead thereof." Perfect surgery. Perfect surgeon. It's his creation. All right? "And Adam," and he said, "and the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he wool man." Now I know you've heard that called woman. Any reason why woman also has the word man contained in it? Don't think it's a coincidence. There's a reason. Because that first woman came from the first man, came from his one rib. Now, is this hard for us to believe? Does this sound like science fiction? It might if it wasn't for that Spirit of God that dwells within me. It might except for the faith that God has given unto us. Now, this is no more difficult for me to understand, for me to believe. Hard for me to understand. This is no more difficult for me to believe than anything else in the Word of God. No more difficult for me to believe that God spoke and it was so. Can I prove that? Can I do a science experiment and show how that God could speak and there was something that had, there was nothing there and then there was something there? If I only had the wisdom of this world, if I was a man void of anything of God, I wouldn't be able to believe these things. Because it's the reason I believe it's not because of worldly wisdom. It's not because I did an experiment and figured out, yeah, I guess it would work that way. No, by worldly wisdom, I'm going to have to come up with some other ideas. Some strange and perverted ideas. Like, there was a big explosion, and out of explosion came, out of chaotic explosion, formed all kinds of complex things put together. Or there was some amoeba out here, and it turned into some higher life form and kept on going and evolving into some other animal. I'm not sure which one we're on nowadays. used to be the monkey, but maybe some other fish or something that we've turned into. I'm going to have to come up with my own ideas, because how is it that we can believe this though? Is it not because of the three that bear record in heaven and even the witness that lives within us that tells us that these things are true, because God lives within the heart of man? And how did He get there? Because God put Him there. This is no more difficult for me to believe than that, believe that a Savior came over 2,000 years ago and went to the cross and took upon Him my sins and transgressions, and He died on that cross, and my sins were nailed to the cross, and He went to the grave for 3 days, and He came forth resurrected the third day, victorious over sin and death. No more difficult for me to believe by faith that He's coming back one day and take His people forever more to be with Him in His presence in a glorified, perfected body. By faith we believe these things. I think over in Hebrews 11 chapter, beginning of that, it says, by faith we believe the words were formed like the Lord says they were in Genesis, essentially. But here He says, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, you can blame Adam if you want to. He does. We need to say that he did fall in the garden, but this is before that. He's still perfect at this time, by the way. He's still perfect. Perfect because He was created perfect. And He's called woman. I'm trying to get to this scripture right here. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now we got two, but it says those two are one. Now, did after this point, how many's in the garden? Is there one in the garden or is there two in the garden? There's two. Got it right. There's two in the garden. Eve's going to take the fruit before Adam does. When Adam took the fruit, he didn't say, well, there's when sin entered into the world and Adam fell when Eve took of the fruit. No, there's a clear distinction. She took it and then gave it to Adam and he did eat. But this says those two are one. One in number or one in unity. Ooh. One in number. We know one in number. That's what we've been stuck on. One in number. One in math. We got that one times one. That's very math. There's nothing wrong with that math. One in number, one in unity. Now let's look over here, John. And you can find that several other places. You go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. He's going to talk about those two being one. Bible says when you get married, you join to your spouse and you become one. But you'd have a hard time when you go to pay for something, or, you know, when you go... You don't just have, from now on, the government doesn't say, y'all got just one Social Security number from now on. No, you still got two Social Security numbers, don't you? It's not, because you're two different people, but you're to become one in that one flesh. All right, let's go to John 17th chapter. What's that evoke in our mind? This is the prayer that Jesus Christ offered to the Father. He's prayed more than one time, Scripture. Remember He prayed in Gethsemane? Remember that? About the cup passing? But here we have a prayer of Jesus. These words spake Jesus, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Election written all over there. We're going to get to that one. I got to keep going. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God. Notice which one came first. It's not that you need to know Him and then you're going to have eternal life.
If you know Him, it's because you have eternal life. That's what came first. This is life eternal. They might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. The only true God. Just one. That's not where we're headed, but He says, I've glorified Thee on earth. I've finished the work which Thou gavest to me to do. If we can figure out what that work is, I'll tell you it sure is finished. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me in Thine own self with Thy glory which Thou had with Thee before the world was. He was before the world, Jesus. I have manifest Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. They are Thine, they were, and Thou gavest them to me. Thine they were. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And He gave them to the Son. Why did He give them to the Son? So He could bear their sins upon the cross. He could pay the sin debt. And they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou givest to me, and they received them, and have known surely that I am come out from Thee. And they believe that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Throw that one in with John 3:16. I'm not supposed to be getting on these tangents, but you just think about it. For them which Thou hast given me, they are Thine. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Here I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep Thou Thine own name, those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. That they may be one. Speaking of God's people, which throughout Scripture is referred to as many. He redeemed many. Gave my life, ransomed for many. As a number that no man can number. Out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, nation. A number... And as numerous as the stars, sky, and sand, seashore. How many of God's people are going to be in heaven? One? One's going to be in heaven? One in number? Or one in unity? He says in his prayer, by the way, every prayer Jesus offered was answered. Scripture tells us that. But we know that's also true. He's praying this prayer. That they may be one as we are. And he goes down. I know I'm running out of time. You go on down here. And he says that same thing again. 20th verse. Neither pray I thee for these alone, but for them which also believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Do we believe that when we get to heaven, that all of us will become one in number or one in unity? We'll all be singing the same song in heaven. We won't be arguing and fussing. There won't be differences between how we look. Now, I know we're getting off on that. I believe, I shouldn't have went there. That's a whole other can there. I will say this much. I don't believe that we'll be clones or cookie cutter things either. Like one brother said about it. He says if we all will be like Christ, no doubt about it. That's predestination. Conform to the image of Christ. We'll all be without sin. But I'm not saying I can explain all this either. But we will know each other because, I like the reason this brother brought up. If we get to heaven and we all look exactly the same and we all look like Christ, we might bow down to one another and not worship the Lamb, which we'll all be worshiping. Can't tell you exactly how that's all going to work out. But I'm not worried about it either. I can tell you that. Lord, take care of that. You worried about it? Don't worry about it. It's in the Father's hands. It'll be done perfectly, gloriously. Every part of it will be. We'll sure know who the Lamb is. We'll sure know the one that's been slain. We'll sure know Him, bow down to Him perfectly, all of us. No arguing, no fussing, no disagreement. But in perfect oneness. And unity is what He's referring here. Even as we are one. Speaking of the Godhead. Jesus Christ did not come down from heaven to do His own will. But He was in perfect oneness with the Father. That's over there, John 6. I came to heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the Father's will. And all He has given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up the last day. That's this last day. We all get that. Perfect unity. Now, are you saying there's three gods? No. There's just one God. But it's God the Father times God the Son times the Holy Ghost and the work of all that. And they're all agreement in every part and every way. And in that way, they are one God. Does that answer all your questions? Probably not. But these are scriptures that we can go to and believe these things to be true. And if you figure it all out, if you get to the point where you've mastered and figured it all out, then you must know more than God be able to describe Him. You get that point. But I believe the Lord's given us enough evidence, enough explanation to be satisfied that there are three persons and they are different. And they are separate. And they've been manifest in different ways throughout time. The Old Testament Scriptures, we primarily see the manifestation of God the Father. When Jesus came manifest in the flesh, we primarily saw the manifestation of God the Son. And when He went away and the Comforter come, and in the day and time we live, we primarily see the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. But it doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't in the beginning. Holy Ghost wasn't in the beginning in the Old Testament Scriptures. Several different times that He took the prophets and showed them these things. And then they saw the Lord. They saw the Redeemer that was going to come. All those prophecies of Jesus Christ, He's in the Old Testament. In types and in shadows. But He's still there. And the Holy Spirit was upon those people. Moving them to act in the faith that God put them, and they were moved to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit was in there when Christ came. And the Father was there, manifest in different ways. Alright, they're always there, always been there. But God has shown them more greatly manifest at different times, different ways. But they're still all there all the time. Man, my time's up. How can it be? How can it be? Take away. I may have to talk about this again. I'll tell you what. I never did get out. I finished all this stuff. God is one God. Jesus Christ is all God. God the Father is all God. The Holy Ghost is all God. These things are true and most surely believed amongst us. And we have enough evidence, enough scripture. I didn't get to a couple of places that taught it plainly. Pray for us if this is where we need to go or if we need to move on next Sunday. I know I've thrown out a lot of scriptures because I believe it's important to establish these things. All right, I was going to do this and I didn't do this, so I'm going to come down here and show you that we're closing. Fourth chapter of Ephesians. I want to motivate you why we would take the time to go through the Ark of Faith. Here it is, Carter. This is the last one. Why do we spend time going through these doctrines and these teachings which have been part of the Lord's church for over 2,000 years? Why is it important that we have these teachings and these truths and they be established?
Is it just something else that we got to keep up with? It's real stuff that helps us. And I'm going to try to give you a motivation each time when we bring up each one of these. So here, there's plenty to motivate us to want to study things. Fourth chapter of Ephesians. In the 11th verse, he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That doesn't mean, I'm so glad that does not mean it's my job to get y'all to the point where y'all don't sin anymore. Because I can't get there myself. Is that perfecting talking about getting y'all where y'all don't sin no more? It's not. But that you might have the completeness. That you might be thoroughly furnished unto all the works. You might have the tools. You might have the focus of the Lord. You might see His Word, how beneficial it is to help us, enable us to worship Him in truth and spirit, and walk in the way that God would have us walk. I'm not worried about eternity. I'm not worried about now. But there's things we need to do to walk as close as we can. And the reason He gave these apostles and these teachers and these pastors was for several reasons. For the perfecting saints is the first one He lists. For the work of a ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. To build up in a good way the body of Christ. Till we all come in unity of the faith. There's oneness. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Again, not sinless, but completeness. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. I love children. And we've all been a baby in Christ and have enjoyed the milk. And the Lord's ready to give that. Thank goodness for the milk. Thank goodness for that. But the goal is to grow. Be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That we be taught the fundamental truths, the basics of fundamental teachings, and that would be what we just talked about, the basic fundamental teachings that we'd be instructed and taught, that we would not then be blown about by every wind of doctrine. There's lots of winds of false doctrine, but as we are instructed and taught, we should not be blown about by every by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, go back to charity, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That we be maturing and growing unto the head, Jesus Christ.